Now, in chapter 3, he's going to bring all of the nation together. God's charge now is against the whole house of Israel, the 12 tribes. Though they're divided, listen to him. Hear this word, that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt. God ignored the fact that they were split. Now he says, I'm speaking to the whole family that I brought up. And you're not two nations, you're one family before me. And he says, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Now that's getting right down where the rubber meets the road. And that's the kind of prophet Amos was. He didn't beat around the bush. He didn't mince words. He says, God will punish you for your iniquities. And you know what? God did. This man happened to be right. It's too bad the politicians and the priests didn't listen to him. If they had, it could have been a different story. Now, this chapter deals with the 12 tribes of Israel. God's judgment upon the two nations, both Judah and Israel. They were separate, and they are treated that way in chapter 2. But now in chapter 3, the judgment is pronounced upon the 12 tribes, those that came out of the Assyrian captivity, those that came out of the Babylonian captivity. He calls them the whole family. And here now is that family he brought out of Egypt. They are divided now, the northern and southern kingdom. Now, in verse 2, he says, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. And I take it of the nations of the earth. In other words, the sin of man after the flood was such that man at the Tower of Babel had departed from God. It was total apostasy at that time. And then God reached down in Ur of the Chaldees and called a man to get away from a home of idolatry and go to a place he'd show him. And he'd make of that man a nation and give him a land. Now, that's what he means here. You only have I known. In other words, in order to get a message through to the world, God had to use this method, because at the Tower of Babel, man had totally rejected God. And the Tower of Babel was not built to get man up above the flood stage of water. That was never the point. It was an altar that was built, apparently, to the sun. And you can understand why. Because they had come through a flood, and they felt that the God that had brought the flood was the God of darkness, the God of the storm. And now they're going to worship the sun. And you find out that that was the worship that prevailed in that Tigris-Euphrates Valley, actually to this very day, the worship of the sun. And you have that worship of light under Zoroastrianism, even down to the present day. Now, after the flood, God chose this man, and now he takes a nation in order that he might use this nation to get a word, and he's giving the word through this nation, and finally, this word is to go to the world. And that's the reason that we're on the radio giving the total Bible, is because we believe that this is God's message for the world today, not just John 3:16, as wonderful as that is, but his message for the world is not John 3:16 only, but 66 books of the Bible. And all of those books, we believe we need to know it all. Now, he says, you only have I known of the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Now, God says, I intend to judge you. Now, the nation Israel occupied this unique relationship to God. God gave them the commandments. That was the reason that he said, he judged Judah. I gave you the commandments. And God judged Israel because of the fact that they had broken so many of the commandments. And you see, light always creates responsibility. A privilege creates a greater responsibility than when a nation is in darkness. And this is the great principle that God puts down here. It is that He intends to judge those that have received light in a harsher manner than He would judge others. You know, the Lord Jesus mentioned the fact that some would receive few stripes, others more stripes. And my friend, I've made this statement many times as a pastor. I would rather be a heathen Hottentot in the darkest corner of this earth, bowing down before a stone idol that is ugly and hideous. I'd rather be that Hottentot than to be a civilized, so-called man in this country who sits in a church on Sunday morning and hears the gospel and do nothing about it. That man that hears the word has a greater responsibility than the man out yonder. And that means there are different degrees of punishment, by the way. And now He makes it very clear that He intends to punish them for your iniquities. Now, a great many, they like to hear about the love of God, and it's wonderful. And I don't think anyone's emphasized the love of God more than we have. I think that it's something that we need to rest upon, and it's something that we need to rejoice in. But we need to recognize also that when the love of God is rejected as it's manifested in the cross of Christ, because actually that's the only place you really see the love of God, when He gave His Son, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. That's where He revealed it. And when that love is rejected, then nothing is left but punishment. Now, a great many people don't think God ought to punish, but since they are not running the universe, I'm of the opinion that their viewpoint will not be followed. Nor I do not think God will listen to it. God already says that He's a holy, righteous, just God, and He intends to punish.